All we really can say is hallelujah. What a Savior. Words really do not fully describe nor absolutely capture the greatness of our Christ and of our God. If you would, please take your Bibles then and turn with me to the passage we were reading together in 1 Chronicles and the chapter 5, please. 1 Chronicles and the chapter 5. And with the Word of God open there, we want to pray together again. I want you to pray for yourself. Thank you for remembering me in our ministry here. But we want you to pray for yourself and those around you, that the Lord would speak to you, and that you would know today for sure this is the Word of the Lord to your heart, to your soul, to you as a congregation, to you as an individual, and for your family. God indeed would instruct us through this passage. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are glad today to have not a book of philosophy or science, but we have the unchanging Word of God. We are delighted today that we are not looking for an updated version, for there is nothing to update. Nothing has changed. Nothing new has come that the Word of God has missed out. We bless Thee, O Lord. It is fully comprehensive. It is everything we need to know for our salvation of the greatness of our God. And so as we come and consider the sufficient Word of God, we pray You would apply it to each and every heart here this morning. We pray, O Lord, You would speak to us. We pray, Lord, there'll be a word in season, as You said, for each individual, for every family, for this congregation. Lord, may it be a word that changes our approach in prayer. Lord, might it be a passage which takes us on with Thee, that we may leave here bettered by the working of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Be with us now. Bless us here. Bless all our churches. We think, Lord, in America, we think in other parts of Canada, that, O Lord, today, where the Word of God is faithfully preached, it may be attended to by the Spirit of God. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to particularly draw your mind to verse 20. Verse 20, let's read it together. There are only three words which I will highlight as we go through the verse. Verse 20, and they were helped. That's the first word, helped. And they were helped against them. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried. That's the second word. For they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them because they put their, here's the third word, trust in Him. Helped, cried, and trust. We have 2.5 tribes in this passage. You see them there in verse 18. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. These are some of the tribes of Israel. Now, when the Lord brought these tribes out of, brought all the tribes out of Egypt, you understand that when they come out of Egypt under those miraculous and magnificent circumstances, the 10 plagues, the Lord brought them up out of the incubator, up out of Egypt where the Lord was nourishing them and causing them to flourish. I know it was a hard time, but yet the Lord caused them to grow immensely. And then they come out of Egypt and they travel through the wilderness. Now they knew that they were heading to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey that God was going to give to them. But before they got across Jordan, there were 2.5 tribes, and here they are, these 2.5 tribes who saw a portion of ground and they said to Moses, this is where we want to stay.
We believe this is where the Lord has given to us that we may raise our families and keep our cattle. And so Moses, by the leading of God, kindly granted to them a portion of the land. Now, the rest of the tribes went in to the promised land. These 2.5 tribes stayed on the other side of Jordan. Now, if we had time, we could go to Numbers 32, and you can read that passage if you want. You can jot it down. Numbers 32, the first 5 verses, and then 16 to 19 records everything I just explained to you there. So here's these people living on this side of Jordan. Now, as it was with the other tribes, when they went into the promised land, God told them, you deal with the heathen there. The heathen people, they are pagan. They will not obey me. They do not worship me. They are a people who are full of wickedness and evil in their heart, idolatry. Not only the fathers, but also the mothers and the children and the next generation that would be raised up would do the same. And so the Lord takes his people Israel, as we have seen in other Lord's days here. The Lord took his people Israel and made them into his sword of justice. And he told them, go and deal with the people in those lands and drive them out. The Lord says, I have prepared land. I gave them ground. They have disobeyed me. They've sinned. So I'm driving them off it. I'm driving them away. And so the Lord says, you enter into their, into the land that I have given to them. Now I give it to you. That was the case with all the tribes that entered the promised land. It was also the same with these 2.5 tribes who didn't cross over Jordan. They were supposed to go and to fight the enemy. You see that here in verse 19. Okay, read verse 19 with me. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jeter and Nephish and Nodab. And so they made war with the people. That's because God had told them to do that. God had told them, go and fight. And now today, the Lord is not asking you or I to lift up our sword or our guns or whatever, and go and deal with everyone who doesn't profess the name of Christ. You don't have that in the Word of God, obviously. But there is a spiritual war going on. There is a battle. We are to be out there speaking the things of God. We are to be proclaiming truth. We are to be living well. We are not to be endorsing sin. We are not to be accepting sin. There is a battle against sin and iniquity that we must fight. So do serve the Lord and take a stand for God. Now, here's why this is interesting. Verse 19 says, they made war with the Hagarites. Okay, that's really important. They went into a battle. But when they're in the battle, it's very clear from our text that they were being overcome. They weren't winning the battle. I can't help but read that and think about our day and era, where sin is very much progressing. Sin is very much advancing. We are very much struggling to fight against all the wickedness that's around about us. It seems that ungodliness is absolutely flourishing. We're like these 2.5 tribes. We're in a battle, and we are being overcome. So what do? They pray. And that's what verse 20 is about. They need help. So they cried to God and they trusted in the Lord. Here's a people, they're in deeper than they can handle. The situation in which they find themselves is far too great for them. And so they look to God afresh. So let's look at the success of prayer found here in 1 Chronicles 5 and the verse 20. First of all, let's observe this word, helped. Let's take the title, assistance. Okay, they need assistance. They cry for help. Now, the key to winning any battle is to have good men on your side. Good warriors fighting with you. People who are prepared to go into the battle and sacrifice everything, even their life, as long as they progress the battle and they are seeking to win. So the key to winning any battle is to have good people with you. You see, these 2.5 tribes, at this point were wise enough and godly enough to know that they needed God with them. If God was like a warrior standing with them, success was guaranteed. So they pray for God to help them. Do you remember that passage in Zechariah chapter 4? Great passage. It's not by might nor by power, the Lord says, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's right, Zechariah 4. It's not by might, not by our might. That's the idea there. The work of God isn't going to advance on any individual's might. It just doesn't work that way. Nor is it by power. And the idea of power there is like an army, okay? Like a big group of people. So God's work will not necessarily progress by a great individual or by a great group of people. It doesn't work that way. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's what these men in this battle understood. It wasn't by their great army. Remember how many people they had in the army? Verse 18 tells us that there were 440,703 that went out to war. All valiant men, able to use the shield, the buckler, able to use the sword, able to shoot the bow. They were skillful in war, and so they were men of great might. And they had great power, for there was many of them, but they were being overcome. They needed a superior to step in, and that superior was God and God alone. That word, verse 20 there, that word helped. I just want you to take it to your own heart and mind today. But that's what you need. Personally, you can take that every morning and say, Lord, at the beginning of each day, Lord, I need you to help me. Is it not what a child sometimes will say they've got a project they're doing and they'll go to a family member, a friend, and they'll say, will you come and help me? Or when you're in trouble, we are humbled in a time of trouble and we're overcome and then we ask for help. There is no doubt this is an act of humility when you come and you ask for help because you are accepting before God, I can't do this. I do not have the ability. I need you, Lord. I need you to step in. So that's good to pray personally, and it's also good to pray congregationally, that the Lord would help you and your witness here, would help this work, would help the whole body of believers here. Never pray as if you are an island on your own. Always pray together for one another. Lord, help those people that sit in front of me, the people that sit behind me, the people in the back, the people in the front, the people in the middle. Oh God, help the congregation, help the work, help the church, meet our needs. Oh God, it's not by my might, it's not by our power. Lord, we know it's by your Spirit. Now, if you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts for a moment. Acts 26. And here you have the Apostle Paul. And what we just read there in 1 Chronicles 5, here you have Paul acknowledging the same thing. So those people, those 2.5 tribes, they cried for help. And Paul said this help of God was the key to his ministry. Acts 26 and the verse, well, we'll just read verse 22. Here is Paul, and he's testifying, okay? Tremendous content in this word of testimony. Verse 22, he says, having therefore obtained help of God. Now, if you wanted a summary of Paul's life, that's it. He obtained help. And that word obtained is even important there. Help was there. He had to obtain it. He prayed, he sought for God. But anyway, having therefore obtained help of God, he says, I continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and great. Let's just stop there. It is by God's help he continued to this current day when he testifies. That's the same with you as an individual. And that is the same with you as a congregation. If you are going to continue,
it will only be by God's help. And that help you must obtain. Remember a few weeks ago, we looked at that woman, Achsa. And Achsa, we observed there that she obtained blessings by prayer, by seeking for them. And so the idea of Paul really is here that if he hadn't this help, he could not have continued. Everything, his ministry, all would have fallen by the wayside. Now read the rest of this verse, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued on to this day doing what? Witnessing. Both to small and to great, the insignificant and the most significant. What did he say? Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So not only was it his personal preservation, it was also by God's help that he stayed on the straight and narrow, preaching only what the Old Testament, what he had, what the Old Testament said. So for him to remain faithful and not to fall into apostasy, it was by God's help. I want that to encourage you to keep on praying individually, congregationally, even for our whole denomination, our missionaries. That God would help them on foreign fields, wherever that may be, that the help of God might be abundantly flowing towards us and that we may know much of God's help. There are, of course, many examples that we could even just make right now of people in history whom God has obviously helped. Think about Noah. Think about Noah. God helped Noah. He saved them from the flood. He gave Noah the wisdom, the skill, the time, the ability, everything to build the ark. And then God helped Noah to bring his whole family in. Praise God, a father who was helped. You could think also on many of the Old Testament characters. Think on Abraham. Again, God helped him as he left his home and he went where God led him, right into what became the promised land eventually, and he blazed a trail for God. Remember that time as it comes to my mind. Remember on Abraham sin. Remember when he went down into the pagan people there and he told his wife, change your name. And she did that, or not her name, but don't tell the people here that I am your husband. Say that I'm your brother. And all of this transpired, and they end up the king of that pagan area. He took Sarah, and he was about to make Sarah his wife, but God stopped the whole thing. And there was a man, Abraham, a good man, who had just fallen by the wayside. He was young in the faith at that point, and you know, even though he was in error, God helped them. Great passage. Great passage. You can think of how God helped Moses. We just read how God helped Paul. You can think about the reformers, Calvin and Martin Luther. Listen, you can think about yourself and how God has helped you. God does help us. There's no doubt about that. And so we ought to continue to pray, Lord, you've helped me up to this point. Continue in these new circumstances to help and to be with us. So let's go back to our text here in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. These people were very aware of their inability to deal with the current situation. And so, well, it says here, and they were helped of God. That's a great, great thought there. They were helped. And the question then has to be, well, how did they get this help? Look at verse 20. And they were helped against them. And because they were helped, it goes on to say, verse 20, and they were helped against them, the enemies, the Hagarites. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. And so God helped them, and they gained success. How did they get help? The verse goes on to say, for they cried to God in the battle. Obviously, the help of God is highly desirable. How did they get it? Well, they got it by prayer. There is no doubt the Lord allowed these tribes to get into a situation where they were beyond themselves. The Lord allowed these 2.5 tribes to go into battle, and he allowed them to be overcome so that they would pray. so that we would have this passage of Scripture. You know, the Lord allows us at times to go into tests and to go into trials. These things are good for us. They bring about our maturity. And these people, they did the right thing. They cried on to God. They recognized again their limitations and their inabilities, and so they cried to God for help. But there's a crucial lesson here. And I have to say, this really thrilled me when I saw this. At halfway through verse 20, it says they cried to God in the battle. It doesn't say they prayed to God before the battle. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, or simply not told. But what we are told is this: in the battle, then they prayed. And here you and I are today. We're living in a sinful world. We have inherited many years of maybe prayerlessness and difficulties and apostasy. And here we are in a battle. We're surrounded on every side. What do we do? Well, we pray. We pray. What I like about this is it's clearly teaching that it's never too late to pray. Let's think about it even just on a personal level. Maybe you find yourselves this morning in difficulty. There's problems. And you didn't pray about it yesterday. Or maybe in your life you fall into difficulties. Like Abraham there when his wife was taken by that pagan king. He found himself in difficulties, and so do you today. Well, it's never too late to pray. You know what it's like when the devil is busy and the world has got you and the flesh is battling with you and there's such a battle going on and you feel discouraged and you've sinned against the Lord and you've let the Lord down or whatever the case may be, and the devil's there saying, well, that's it, you should have prayed this morning. Oh, that's your problem. You've been backslidden for weeks and for months now. There's no point in praying. Just give up. Well, this verse says the exact opposite. They're in the battle. Whether they prayed beforehand or not, we don't know. But when they're in the battle and the problem has arisen and they're overcome, they pray. It's never, ever, ever, ever too late to pray. God answers prayer. And I'm glad of that. The time's going on. Would you go with me to Hebrews 11, please? Here, in my personal walk with God, I have to say this is probably the verse that encourages me in prayer more than any other. It's Hebrews 11, the verse 6. This passage is dealing with the men and women of great faith. Sarah and Moses and Abraham and Joseph and Jacob and so on and so forth. But here in verse 5, you have Enoch. Let's just read that. It's verse 6, but verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For, now here it is. For he that cometh to God, and the idea here is prayer. For he that cometh to God must believe, obviously, that he is, and he exists. If you're going to come to God in prayer, you have to first of all believe that he exists, okay? So, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so this verse makes it clear. You come to God believing that he is. You're not coming to a God of stone or wood, but a living God. And the more you know of God, the more you'll want to pray. That's an absolute fact. The more you see his omnipotence and his power, his ability, his love, the more you'll want to pray. So when you believe that he is, you will understand that he rewards prayer all the time. Even when you're in the battle. Even when problems have arisen, even when you have failed, even when the mistake is yours, it says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, regardless of the circumstances. I love that. And so you diligently seek the Lord. every day, when you're in problems, when you're out of problems, diligently seek Him. Because God has given you an absolute outright promise. He will reward those who seek Him. And we see that in our passage. Because they were in battle, they were in over their head, and the Lord helped them because they cried. Very quickly, let's go back to our text. Let's look at this last word, and then we'll finish up. So 1 Chronicles 5 and the verse 20. So they were helped of God because they cried. Let's read it all. Verse 20. And they were helped against them, the Hagarites. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand. And all that were with them, because they cried to God in the battle. And He was entreated of them because they put their trust in Him. That's really important. Why did God help them? Because they cried. And why did God hear their prayer? He heard their prayer because they trusted. That's the key. We have thought about their assistance, the help. We have thought about their approach, they cried. But here now is their attitude. They trusted in God. You know, it's possible to pray, but pray not trusting God. It's only words. You're just reciting words, just saying stuff. And you're not really trusting in God as you pray. It's possible to pray and not receive answers. You know that. You can see that, you know, James deals with that quite thoroughly. James 1, verses 6 and 7. When there's faithlessness, God will answer prayer. Great verse there. It says when you're waving to and fro, like a wave, when you're wavering, God says, that's not going to be answered, all right? The Lord goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 3, when your motives are wrong, the Lord isn't going to answer a prayer when your motives are wrong. Isaiah makes it very clear, Isaiah 59, if you sin, if your prayer is a sin, He will not answer it. If we, and John puts it well, when we pray something that's not the will of God, God will answer it. So there are times we have in these verses where we're wrong in our prayerfulness, maybe faithlessness, wrong motives. There's sinful, it's a sinful prayer, or it can simply be not the will of God. Now look at these people. They trusted in the Lord, so they were not faithless. They were full of faith. They're trusting absolutely upon God. There's not wrong motives here, because what they're doing is what God told them to do, to go into battle. There's not sin in this prayer. What they're doing is righteous. And it was the will of God for them to succeed. And so the Lord did answer prayer here. You know, these men in the battle here, they could have been like the hyper-Calvinists. They could have sat down in the midst of the battle. The battle is an array all around them, to north, south, east, and west. And they could have sat down, the whole group of men, and just thought, well, that's it. It's God's will for us to fight. It's God's will for us to win. We're just going to sit here and wait for God to do it. And if that would have happened, well, they would have got a nasty surprise, because they would not have succeeded. The whole purpose of this text is making it clear, if they would not have trusted, and if they would not have cried, God would not have helped. They would not have succeeded. And so we ought to pray then, to obtain help. Pray trustingly, cry unto God fervently, and wait for God to help, and He will help always. The devil, just in closing, the world and the flesh would very much attack our ministries and prayer individually and as a congregation. The devil always attack here, this word trust. That's where the devil is most active in the child of God's battle. If the devil can cause you to just begin to doubt and to lack in faith and to lack in trust, you'll begin to lack in prayer and everything else. Men and women, you and I at all times ought to pray, for we do need help. I've mentioned before in our prayer meetings here on a Tuesday evening, you know, as we have walked around Calgary, like I said, it's been a great delight. We have thoroughly enjoyed it. But we have witnessed an abundance of sin, an absolute abundance of iniquity and ungodliness and rebellion and hate towards the things of God. It's everywhere. You do need help. We are no different at home in Northern Ireland. We need help. And to be truthful, the buck stops with you and me. We're the people of God. We needn't sit here and wait for someone else to pray. We needn't sit and wait for God to raise somebody else up so that they can wrestle in prayer. It's my job and it's your job. Like those 2.5 tribes, we must trustingly cry to God and get help, because if we do not obtain help, things will only get worse. And men and women, what will the next generation encounter if we don't see the Lord deliver us now?